Jeff Levering. Oh, by the way, I have a great idea for you if they hit a walk-off today. So if the Brewers win the series, hit a walk-off, maybe something like, and it's gone, oh, Canada, and just go into the Canadian anthem. Walk it off with the anthem. It'd be so brilliant.
Is that a good idea?
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Petrano, here's Eric Bilstadt.
Yeah, so it's been 30 years since Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman were killed. Obviously, we know what's happened since then. So Greg Pancake asked here, what would be this generation's O.J. Simpson trial? Now, you had an interesting one that you threw out there, Mike Spall.
I posited the Aaron Hernandez trial, both in the severity of what happened and then the copious amounts of media coverage. I think that one kind of transcended beyond sports a little bit.
Yeah. And that one was on the East Coast. He was a Patriots player.
Yes.
That's one's been sent in here a couple of times on the talk and text line, Aaron Hernandez one. Also, Michael Vick has been suggested
on the text line.
But again, of course,
this generation, I don't know if that resonates the same way. Because Michael Vick was omnipresent in sports, but I don't know beyond the trial if anyone would catch on to what he does. You know what I mean? I mean, OJ, I feel like, was so in the culture because he was in movies. He was doing all these things. Right. Michael Vick, football star, yes. Broadcaster now, yes. Host a podcast. But I don't know if it transcends. I think you had a really good one.
I'm trying to remember what I said.
Kobe Bryant.
Oh, yeah, Kobe.
That one, I think, is a little bit... The Colorado trial.
Right. Yeah, the Colorado trial was what, at least... Early 2000s?
2004, I think it was. Around 2004, 2005.
Yeah, Mike, you were saying that O.J. Simpson was your first seminal kind of news moment. Mm-hmm. And for me, this was kind of around the same age, 10, when the Kobe Bryant case was happening. So just old enough to remember all of the coverage around that.
Mm-hmm. And he transcended beyond sports. I mean, he was a big enough star to where people knew him. The other one I kind of thought of, and it's not an athlete, but could it be something like the bombing in Atlanta at the Olympics. I mean, that was a huge. I also
Richard
remember
Jewell and that poor guy.
Yeah, and it was kind of a debacle. But that one also was like, okay, it's a sports moment, but it's much bigger than that.
Right. I could go even beyond sports in this case as well with OJ. So much else going on there. 30 years since that murder. 7:16. We got to get to sports. We'll do it in 60 seconds.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Back to the practice field for the Green Bay Packers. They hit the gridiron for a mandatory minicamp this week. And while the offense and defense look to install some new plays, maybe create a little on-field chemistry, questions swirl around Jordan Love and his contract. He certainly doesn't want to talk about it.
How do you handle this process in terms of, do you like to know what's going on and what's being said, or do you just try to disconnect?
What is that?
Yeah, what does that mean? We certainly like to talk about it, though. He was cornered at his locker yesterday after practice went on and was asked over and over again. Yeah, he refused to answer. But if you're Jordan Love, in his defense, what are you supposed to say? He did say he is optimistic that a deal would be done by training camp next month. If one doesn't get reached, he'll play this upcoming season on a one-year $10.5 million.
And what you don't want to do is give leverage to the Packers at all. So you got to be careful what you say and whatnot.
Yeah, I did say like to be involved and know what's going on, but you don't. I think we've heard plenty of athletes say negotiating their own contracts. It's tough. We like you, but here's the reason we don't like you.
But man, you got to get it done though.
That much. Yeah, you gotta get it done. On to the Brewers. There wasn't a lot to like Tuesday night in a 3-0 shutout loss to the Blue Jays.
3-2 payoff pitch coming. Here it is. Swing and a miss. Struck him out, and that will do it. Fastball at 95 finishes the crew tonight.
The loss did drop the Brewers to 39-28 on the season. Still good enough for first place in the NL Central. They did have a rookie pitcher on the mound last night, Carlos Rodriguez, making his major league debut. The two teams wrap up their three-game series at American Family Field today. Coverage on WTMJ starts at 12:35.
Breaking sports food news.
Joey Chestnut!
Yeah, no more. Joey Jaws Chestnut is done. He's been banned from the upcoming Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. If I asked you how many times he had won that, would you know?
I'd say 9.
16.
All right. Yeah, there you go.
16-time champ. He's banned because he signed a sponsorship deal with a vegan hot dog brand called Impossible Foods, and you can't do that. It can't be vegan. I'm just kidding. You can't sponsor with anything else if you're going to be part of Nathan's hot dog eating contest. So he is out, says Richard Shea.
We learned just a couple days ago. Then we asked, we hope that this is not true.
Unfortunately, it was. Richard Shea, by the way, is the Major League Eating president.
The Roger Goodell of eating.
It is a new world we're living in now, unfortunately, as we head into July 4th.
For some Americans, a July 4th without Joey Chestnut may feel like a hot dog bun without a wiener.
Marine One is wheels up after President Biden spent the night in Delaware. He had traveled to Delaware. This was not part of the schedule, but it occurred after the conviction of his son, Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden convicted in his gun trial on Tuesday.
Hunter Biden left the court with his wife and mother, the first lady, by his side, and was later seen embracing his father in Delaware. In a statement, he said he's grateful for the support, saying recovery is possible by the grace of God, and I am blessed to experience that gift one day at a time.
So he was basically convicted on 3 charges of lying about being a drug addict on a form to buy a gun. So he checked the box on this form. He's looking at 25 years. We'll get to that in a second. But first, what was this going to be like for the jury when they considered this case? How close was it?
Moments after the verdict, I met with juror number 10 in the garage. He revealed a remarkable scene inside the jury room when they started deliberating. A jury split right down the middle, 6-6.
Believe it or not, it was a split vote.
6-6.
6-6.
That was the first vote.
That was the first vote.
But all that changed when they talked it over. Juror 10 says Hunter Biden knew he was an addict when he filled out that background check.
ABC's Terry Moran. Yeah, actually, a couple other jurors said, look, this had nothing to do. We don't see this as political. We weren't discussing the fact that the first lady was there or President Biden's son being the center of this case. Although there was at least one juror who said later that this seemed like a waste of time, that it shouldn't have been necessarily something that they had to be spending time considering. Either way, he's convicted now. So how much time does he get? The charges carry the potential for 25 years behind bars. ABC analyst Dan Abrams.
It is going to be very interesting to see what the special counsel asks for. What does David Weiss request? Does he request prison time? Doesn't he? If you listen carefully to the press conference that he had yesterday, it sounded like he was setting the stage for at least asking for a much lower sentence than the possible maximum here.
It'd be very hard to believe that he'll get 25 years in prison. He may not get any time, really. It really depends on how this goes. Now, we're not done here as far as some of his legal troubles. Hunter Biden's trial on tax charges in California, that will start in September. The judge recently granted a defense request to delay that trial until September. It was supposed to start later this month, but now it's not going to. In that case, he's charged in the California situation with 9 felony and misdemeanor tax offenses. Charges stem from what federal prosecutors say was a 4-year scheme to skip out on paying more than $1 million that he owed to the IRS. So conviction for the president's son, first time in history that has ever happened. We've had a lot of firsts in history this past year. Got to bring the bats to the old ballpark. I think that'll help a little bit. Jeff Levering joins us for Brewers 360 at 7:45.
In a rare move for him, Elon Musk is backing out of a fight. The owner of Twitter and Tesla and a number of other companies dropping a lawsuit against a major artificial intelligence company.
Back in February, Elon Musk sued OpenAI and 2 of that company's founders, Sam Altman and Greg Brockman, for breach of contract and fiduciary duty. Now he's dropping that lawsuit. Musk was a co-founder and an early investor in OpenAI, contributing tens of millions to the startup. His lawsuit claimed the company had strayed too far from its stated goal of creating AI that benefits all humanity in favor of profits. Musk left OpenAI in 2018 and started his own AI company last year. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
A hearing on OpenAI's motion to dismiss the case has been scheduled for later today.
At what point will we have the AI companies just fight with each other, or the AI themselves will just talk and file lawsuits against each other?
Oh, I like that. It'll just be an eternal fight.
Right, yeah.
It'll be like Sisyphus. They'll just keep...
A fundraising fight. could actually even be like where we could have just two AI.
Which one is
fighters.
Superior? Yeah. You know, they'd just be listing legal statutes, and they would read the entire like 90 pages of what the statute is. Yeah, it'd be great.
One would look like Elon. The other one would look like Zuckerberg.
Maybe a Sam Altman in there, too. Yeah, okay. I'm into it.
Options. 738. This hasn't ever happened at the big gig before. That story next. So, Summerfest has been around 50-plus years. I don't recall this being something they have offered before. I might have to reach out to Julie and confirm this. One item that attendees at the big gig will be able to take advantage of this year... reusable souvenir cups. You've been able to buy cups and do different things and buy swag. That's been out there forever. But what makes this different is that you can buy a reusable souvenir cup and then you can get $1 off your beer refills. Here we go.
Sign me up.
So there's a couple of reasons for this. I mean, obviously, that's enticing to some people. Some people are going to be interested in that just because they can get a cup that they could reuse and then also save a couple of dollars on beer. But it's also a green initiative as they look to be more sustainable. Other environmental initiatives that Summerfest says they are doing, Mike, include more recycling, composting, what, even some LED lighting?
Yeah, changing up the lights, lowering costs that way.
Yeah. So Summerfest going green by offering cheaper beer. If you buy a reusable souvenir cup. Summerfest just right around the corner. It is 744. Brewers 360 is next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Not much to like at American Family Field Tuesday evening. The Brewers falling to the Blue Jays by a score of 3-0. The two teams will wrap up that three-game series at American Family Field this afternoon. Coverage on WTMJ starts at 12:35. The Packers back on the practice field. They started mandatory minicamp this week. Had questions, Jordan Love and the future or his future in Green Bay. Love is in the middle of contract negotiations with the Green Bay Packers. No contract reached. Love will be playing the 2024 season on a $10.5 million deal.
Brewers 360 sponsored by Holiday Automotive. Joining us on Wednesdays is the voice of the Brewers, Jeff Levering. Jeff, talk us off the ledge a little bit. I have to admit, you know, we heard a stretch there for a bit while the Brewers were still winning. They weren't hitting home runs. Had a few different shutouts pop up from time to time. Is this offense going to become a concern at a point where they're going to have to make a change?
I don't think so. I think they're going to be just fine. Listen, they've run into some really tough pitching. They've ran into three outstanding starters in Philadelphia. They ran into Tarek Skubal, who's probably going to win the American League Cy Young if he continues to pitch the way he's doing. That was on Sunday. They ended up getting to Berríos, who's been throwing his tail off recently. They beat him a couple of days ago. And Yusei Kikuchi, weird zone last night. He was able to find some... The Brewers had opportunities to score runs. They just didn't get that big hit yesterday. I think they're going to be fine. Yesterday was just an aberration. They'll probably go out there and score 10 runs this afternoon. You never know.
Jeff, we got a pretty good outing for Carlos Rodriguez last night. His first big league outing went just over three innings, had six Ks, gave up but two runs. He pretty good night. The offense just didn't back him up. I wanted to ask you, with so many rookies coming up and roster moves, and we know how many pitchers the Brewers have used, from a broadcast standpoint, how up-to-date do you have to stay on not only AAA, but also I'm assuming probably AA as well?
I think everybody should show up with name placards on their chest, that's for sure. I mean, it's hi, my name is. No, but I think we do a really good job, especially on the radio side, when Josh Maurer does his weekend minor league reports on Sundays. You get a good feel of what this organization is all about. You listen to the highlights and how these teams are doing. So you get the weekly report on how they're doing. But we've seen all these guys in spring training. That's the beauty of spring training, is that you see a lot of these arms come up and they're non-roster invites or they're just minor league invites to camp that particular day. And then they get in there. No one would have known who James Meeker was unless he had pitched in the ninth inning of some spring training games last year. He ends up pitching a scoreless inning in Detroit. and then ended up getting DFA'd yesterday. But we wouldn't have known who James Meeker was or his story without spring training. So we do a pretty good job of keeping up to date with what's going on the TV side. We have Tom Flanagan on every month and get a farm report and how these guys are doing. But it's our due diligence, make sure we know how good the organization is. And right now we're in pretty good shape.
Jeff, I keep wondering now, as the Brewers continue to be successful, even through some of the craziness with these injuries and whatnot, how much more should be given to Pat Murphy as a compliment to his job to manage, you know, his ability to be able to press the right buttons to inspire, you know, perhaps he was the hidden gem behind the scenes all these years that we knew was there, but we didn't realize just how much of an impact he was during the Craig Council years.
I think he deserves a lot of credit, and he's been there the entire time. He's been one of the architects of this ship, right? But now he's got a different voice, and I love his approach. And he said it in the press conference a couple of days ago where, hey, this may be boring, but I'm not going to talk about the future. Let's win today. Let's worry about today. Yeah. And then we'll worry about tomorrow. It's a great way to live life. It's a great way, whatever, if you're playing baseball, if you're an architect or whatever it is, live for that day. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You worry about tomorrow sometimes. You can have a little bit of planning, but at the same time, you got to worry about how you're going to get through that day. And I think it's a really healthy way to go about baseball in a 162 game marathon. You can get caught up and, well, it's okay, it's just one game. But how many times have we seen it where one random game in May ends up hurting the Brewers at the end of the season? I think that's what's so refreshing about what Pat Murphy's been able to do is whoever is on that roster, whoever is available, they're going to find a way to contribute in that particular ball game and try and win that game that day. And I think that that's one of the great things that Murph has been able to do is create this clubhouse culture where everybody feels welcome and let's get together and win that ball game today.
Jeff Levering, oh, by the way, I have a great idea for you if they hit a walk-off today. So if the Brewers win the series, hit a walk-off, maybe something like, "And it's gone, oh Canada," and just go into the Canadian anthem. Walk it off with the anthem. It'd be so brilliant.
Is that a good idea? I feel like just rubbing it in a little bit. I don't know if we need to do that.
I think it's a phenomenal idea.
We had enough antics with the bat getting stuck in the net the other day.
God,
so we'll see what happens.
That was awesome. That was awesome. That was my favorite part of that game, to be honest.
We built the drama, that's for sure. Yes. I mean, we had a great – I was on the edge of my seat having a good time with it.
It's two great innings of baseball right there. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate you, buddy.
You got it. See ya.
Idea Man.
I was out playing with the tournament director, Nate Pokrass, and we ran into Strick, and Strick asked that same question.
Innovator.
You know, he said, "How was it?" And both of us were like, "It's way too – it's a tough course. There's water, and, you know, for us, 15 handicap plus, it's a tough course."
And Packers Hall of Famer.
And Steve Deadpan looked at us and was like, "Well, I made 9 birdies."
Well, yeah, you did, bro.
No blank, you did. You designed the course, and you're a professional golfer.
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
Devastating news, Tausch. Devastating news this week regarding the most famous of all the competitive eating competitions, Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Joey Jaws Chestnut banned from the upcoming contest this July 4th.
Yeah, it was devastating for all of us that on the 4th of July, you get around, you have your own thing, but everybody's got that eye on how many hot dogs is Joey Jaws going to eat. And this kind of lets you know the commercialization and how you have one of the great champions of all when it becomes just competing. Nobody could beat him. And now for Nathan's to say, "Well, you are endorsing a different product, you can't come. You're not giving the fans what you..." This is the tough part of the business side of competitive eating, which I never thought I would be saying on any type of radio show. Well, it's going to ruin the 4th of July, but it just kind of continues to show the business side of sports and all, whether it's eating, basketball, whatever it might be.
So he was banned because he signed a sponsorship deal with vegan hot dog brand Impossible Foods, and you can't do that if you compete with Nathan's.
Bigger misfire, Tausch. Joey Chestnut in this professional eating or U.S. women's basketball leaving Caitlin Clark off the Olympic roster?
Yeah, good question.
Oh, what a great question, Mike. I have to go Caitlin Clark just because Joey Jaws has got 16 championships, and Caitlin Clark has moved the needle in such a big way for, you know, when the Olympics starting in a month or so. The fact that she is not going to be there representing and bringing all of that attention and eyeballs to it, I think is a huge misstep, but it's a lot closer than I think most people think. And now, is there going to be somebody else that emerges in the vast vacuum that Joey Chestnut is going to leave in this hot dog eating contest? I doubt it. And anyone that wins, this is going to be asterisked. Because Joey Chestnut wasn't allowed to compete.
See, that's why I disagree with you there. I feel like the Olympics will still go on. There is still interest in the U.S. team. There are still those who now want to watch it because she won't be part of it, Caitlin Clark. Whereas no one knows any of these other food eating guys. Not a soul. No,
they don't.
No one's going to care.
Don't you want to see who is the next Jaws? Caitlin Clark is just getting started. Her professional career, her Olympic career. Joey Jaws is the GOAT when it comes to competitive eating. Now you get to see who's the next person up. Who can be that person? So you can look at this from both ways, but anytime you have a great champion still in their peak and they're not allowed to perform because of a sponsorship deal, you're taking a chance. You don't know how many more times at greatness you get to watch. And you're gonna deprive us of that? I don't know, Eric.
If you are interested, the sports book says Jeffrey Esper is
Espy. Old Esper is gonna wolf down some dogs. I'd be curious. The gap between those two, I'm guessing, is gonna be pretty substantial.
Last year he ate 49 hot dogs. I'm trying to remember how many Jaws has eaten in his peak.
Chestnut's
70
in the
something.
Mid-60s. Yeah, 60s. You're 70. Looking at a 20 dog split. I don't know if there's going to be people tuning in when you know somebody's 20 better and they're still going to win a championship.
It's not the same. It is not the same. Devastating news. Tausch, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Tausch sponsored by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
For some Americans, a July 4th without Joey